You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over a year and a half ago, Cyclone Gabrielle made landfall, thrashing the North Island with widespread damage. The disaster left many without a home, and over a year on, houses are still red-stickered, people are left waiting for insurance assessments, and climate change is still causing extreme climate events. Earlier this month, the Otago region was affected by major flooding, damaging homes and other community centres. Associate Professor at the University of Auckland, George Laking, says that extreme weather events like these impact people's homes, whānau and livelihoods, and in the wake of them, it's paramount to consider people's mental health. Following Cyclone Gabrielle, Laking identified five key health priorities that should be prioritised in natural disaster responses. I spoke to Laking about these responses, how they related to Cyclone Gabrielle, and how they could be better applied in the wake of the Otago floods. I started off by asking him about the meaning behind the quote, "The climate crisis is a health crisis," which leads the introduction of his findings. You start off with this quote, "The climate crisis is a health crisis." It's a really interesting statement. I don't think it's something that would cross most people's minds. So could you expand on this a little? How are the two intertwined?
Really, all roads lead to health, ultimately. I mean, we've got used to thinking about the economy and GDP and that sort of thing. But if you want an indicator of how well you're doing as a society, ultimately, it's the health of people. If you're doing badly as a society and failing your people, people's health suffers. And there are all sorts of ways we'll be going wrong with the climate that this ultimately is going to be harmful for human health. And that's recognised around the world. There's a medical journal called The Lancet, which started a thing called The Lancet Commission a few years ago. And the conclusion of that was, in fact, the number one threat to global health in the 21st century is climate change.
So you reviewed some lessons learned in the wake of Cyclone Gabrielle. What were the key points that you discovered about mental health following a natural disaster?
Mental health is a very, very big aspect of the harm that disasters wreak across society. And one of the things about mental health is it also tends, historically, not to be spoken about a lot or maybe not taken heed of a lot, when in fact it's this enormous thing that builds up in the background quietly if it isn't taken notice of and can become a very big thing if it's neglected. So for the after effect of the storms and the cyclones, there are a lot of people carrying a big mental burden from that. And there's all sorts of reasons why they carry that burden, and all sorts of reasons why the outworkings of cyclones and storms and those disasters actually end up as a mental health issue.
Yeah, what sort of things can contribute to that? Is it maybe the damage done to people's homes during those disasters?
Yeah, so many of us fortunate to have been spared from events of that type, but for people who've lived through them, obviously, and I've got to acknowledge the people who did live through that, but to be involved in an emergency like that can be absolutely terrifying. We had quite a few people in the research who reported back that they really did not expect to survive the night of the storm. And you'll be familiar with those stories, people who had to take shelter inside the roof space of their house because of how high the water went up. Seeing those sorts of things happening to people that you care about is quite a blow. Not knowing what has happened to people that you care about is also, many people said how traumatic that was, the time until they could find out what had actually happened to people that they cared about. And then putting the pieces back together again afterwards, when you step outside and see that everything you were used to and your normal organisation of life has just changed out of all sight, that's a thing as well. It doesn't go away. It kind of stays there in the background unless people can find a way to work through it and overcome that type of mental trauma.
And now, just over a week ago, we've had the Otago floods as well. Is there anything that you think should be done differently in the wake of that that wasn't perhaps done efficiently following Cyclone Gabrielle?
Well, we found conclusions in a report that I think are relevant to what we should do differently. And you could there was three conclusions. The first one, strengthening communities. The second one, getting health services much more in the community rather than out of the community. And the third one was kind of a bit more mundane, but it was all to do with preparation. And this topic of procurement is the things that you're allowed to buy if you work for the government, and that's all sort of planned in advance, but really needs to take account of being able to stock up and have the resources and procure the resources so that you're ready if a disaster happens.
And you talk about the effects being long-term and still ongoing. If we look at Cyclone Gabrielle over a year and a half on, there are still people feeling the effects of this. Their houses are still red stickered. They're waiting for insurance assessments still. How do these sort of longer-term things have an effect on mental health as well?
Make it hard to do anything to start with. I don't know if you've had to wait around for an insurance assessment, but it can be quite a big distraction from, and people report it's hard to, you know, move on with their lives while the previous thing hasn't been resolved. I mean, that's a basic level of mental health, but what we tend to see is hand in hand with that increased what we call morbidity or actual, you know, diagnosable illness. Diagnosable illness is really only one part of mental health. It's not all of it, but you see more of that as well. One of the things which came out from talking with people was this term, rain anxiety, which relates to it's actually becomes quite stressful just simply if it starts to rain, because as soon as the clouds open and it starts to rain, there's always that question, oh my goodness, is this going to happen again? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And every single time it rains, just people find themselves going through this same thought process again.
And when we talk about health needing to be considered, who are we talking about? Who does it need to be considered by? Is this the government's responsibility that we're talking about?
Yeah, oh, thanks, because that sort of comes back to the first two of the conclusions of the report that we did. For the Ministry of Health, I might add, so the government certainly has been concerned about this. The government of in New Zealand, central power is a very big thing. You know, the political power of the government to run our society. But I had this realisation that if you have a storm, you might have a power cut. And we think about a power cut as the loss of electrical power. But a power cut, in a way, is also an interruption of the power of the government to run the country. That gets interrupted too. And so people get thrown back on their own resources. Depending on how well communities work at that very local level, the whole experience of getting through the disaster really hinged on how well communities could work together. You know, just very basic stuff like people knowing who their neighbours are and talking with their neighbours, but also having things like local knowledge about where you could go. A lot of this was part of the civil defence type of thing, but then a lot of it just comes quite organically and intrinsically from communities that are able to work in a healthy way as communities. So, of course, we saw a huge amount of this type of thing, especially with Māori communities Wherever there was like a marae, for example, that became a natural community hub, and we saw how Māori communities in particular were able to step up a response in an emergency, and so we'd really like to put that forward as something I think for the country as a whole to aspire to be able to work in that type of a way as a model for empowerment of communities at community level.
That was the Associate Professor at the University of Auckland, George Laking, on the effect of natural disasters on mental health. We'll be right back after a short break. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.